Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. And once again, I end up last. I think this happened when Kevin and Alan and I spoke, and I had to follow those two. It was like, what else can you add? But but it is a blessing because he has something for each one of us. Each one of us are unique. And by his death and by his rising, he's given us new life, and we have an opportunity to spread the good news. So I just want to share a little bit about the resurrection and what it means to me as well. And when we were asked, you know, I kind of want to go shake Josh and Dale's hands right now to make sure they're as sweaty as mine. Josh's are probably good now because he's done. But it's just an opportunity for us to be able to share with one another. Sometimes in the busyness of life, you know, we come together on a Sunday and we worship and we listen, but do we really get to be with one another and know one another and be open with one another? A lot of the times it's always, hey, how are you? Good. You're on your way. But we're not always good, and you're not always that busy, even though you think you are. So I just encourage to really go before the Lord on this subject and just kind of say, Lord, you know, speak through me today to this group of people, Lord, that you would experience him and know the love he has for each and one of us, every one of us. So I want to go to Romans 6:4. And it just goes, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I was really challenged by that because I felt the Lord was speaking to me and saying, what are you doing different? You were saved over 10 years ago, and what's your walk? What are you doing? You know, we tend to, as Christians, sometimes meld with the world, and you know, they live lives of boredom, and they're searching for the next best thing. And whether, you know, whatever it is, we're always looking for something new, but we have him. And when you give your life to Christ, there should be a newness of life. And I was really challenged by that because, you know, you go through the motions sometimes, but are you really experiencing him? Are you really sharing that joy with one another that he's given us? And I can honestly say I don't always. And I think each one of us can, you know, look at ourselves and say, I don't always either. But we have hope because he died for us. And so I wanted to just touch base on a couple of things that he spoke to me on, what he saved us from and then what he saved us to. And so first is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And there's kind of a few scriptures, so I'll be jumping around a little bit. I can give you page numbers if you want them. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Actually, I'm going to start in 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. So he saved us from the wrath to come by his death and by his resurrection. And then Romans 7. And then verses 4 through 6. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we were saved there from the penalty of law. And it's such a blessing to know that the work was done by him, not by us. The next one is John 8:33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So there he saved us from the slavery of sin. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And then I just want to go into what he saved us to. And this is where I was really challenged. You know, it's easy to go on the sidelines and, you know, he saved us. He did all this work for us. And then just not go on. We can sit in our homes and say, "I'm a Christian," and be blessed, and the Lord will continue to be there in your time of worship and in your time of prayer. But really, you need to go spread His good news, because He saved us to do that, right? He saved us to go and share the word and to commune with one another. And so what He did do for us was He saved us to, the first one is in John 10:10. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that may it be more abundant life." Abundantly. And so the world can give you life. There's different things you can do. You hear a lot of times people say, "I have a great nightlife," where they go out to clubs and they do these things. But He gives you abundant life. And it's only through that relationship with Jesus that you can have an abundant life. There's nothing else that gives you abundancy of life except Jesus Himself. So no matter what people, you know, kind of put in there to try to create their abundancy in their life, it's a void. It's never going to be filled unless they give their life to Christ. And then obviously the famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just shows God's love for us. It's just amazing. I mean, what more can you add to that? To give up your own Son for us, who deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. We deserve death. We deserve hell, right? But He gave up His only begotten Son for us to have everlasting life. It's just amazing. And then 1 Corinthians 12:12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all are members of this one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And that was where it really spoke to me, that we are one body, and each one of us as an individual in this body, we are a vessel of Him, but as a church body, it takes all of us to be a part of His kingdom and to spread His good news. I think, to me, what it really challenged me with was, you know, the Father gave His life for us to have everlasting life. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just continue on as a normal life and not express, you know, the joyness and the fullness that He's given to us? I mean, this morning is a day we celebrate, and we celebrate it every day, right? We should celebrate His opportunity to give us new life every day. But today is an extra special day. Like Kevin said, it's the Super Bowl, right? It's big. And it's just, you know, I thought to myself this morning as we got ready and Tessa helped me tie the tie, 70 times. I was about ready to say, you know what, forget the tie, you know. But it's those little things that can throw you off track. And like, no, I'm late. Kevin's up at the church. It's 9:15. What am I going to do? You get frazzled. And the Lord's just saying, what are you worrying about? Why do you care what you're wearing? Because put on Him. Put on Him. It's all that matters. It's what He puts in your heart. It's not what I'm wearing. And it just blessed me. And I just think of what I can do in my life. You know, small town Minneota, Minnesota. What else? What can you give? It's not like you're some port city that you have access to all these people. But guess what? Each and every individual that's in this room and in this town needs to know who Christ is. And we have an opportunity to share that. I don't know if anybody follows, we listen to the Christian radio station, Life 96.5, but I've always been encouraged by this Pastor Jorge, and you hear updates on the radio all the time of him. He's down in Juarez, so it's a war zone for drug dealers, and he's actually encouraged and asked to be brought into the police stations and pray with these police officers. These guys are out in the streets every day giving their life because it's just drug lords everywhere. And I thought to myself, you know, would I ever do something like that? Obviously, if the Lord led and I gave him full control, you would, right? But recently, in the past few days, they were down there, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but he was with his worship leader and another member of their church, and they were shot at. And the worship leader and this other member were killed, and he was okay. But it's like, is that going to happen in Minnesota? I hope not. It shouldn't. But he's putting his life on the line for Christ. You know, he's walking to these police stations, and you know that he's got a target on his head. I mean, he's sharing Christ, and that's the last thing that the devil wants is this man to save lives and to change these whoever these people are down in Mexico. But I was really encouraged by that to say, you know what, I have a purpose in Minnesota, Minnesota. I have a purpose in my family. I have a purpose in this church, and I'm just really encouraged because of his dying on the cross and raising again. It just blows my mind. And you know, you always get so serious about everything. But when I kind of looked at this and I laughed when you think about it, after he had risen and there was two gentlemen walking on the road to Emmaus and he came before them, right? It kind of reminded me thinking of Dan and Dylan walking down the street dribbling a basketball and just kind of, yeah, whatever. You know, he's right there. He was with them and talking to them, and they didn't know who he was because they were, blinded. But it's just an opportunity for us in our lives to, you know, really, okay, we're busy. We always got things going on, and you're kind of like, you know, we put God off like it's not, he's not important. When he wants to talk to you, just open up and just stop and listen and just be open to him. We're always so quick to pray and ask for this and ask for that, but just stop and just commune with him. It's just an amazing opportunity. And when this stuff happens, you really, you know, it's easy in your daily life if nobody else is watching you because, you know, people can't see what you're doing, but God knows. And when you're doing something like this, it's like you have to make sure you're prepared because you're all going to hear what I say and what I've studied in the past week. But it really matters because God wants us to share with one another what's on our hearts because he puts it on there. And each one of us has something different to share. And so I just think with that last verse, 1 Corinthians 12:12, with us, we have a mission as a body. And we should have joy with one another. We have abundance of life. Today we should be celebrating, and we have been celebrating. Worship is great. It's always the quirky things, right? I mean, you think he doesn't have a sense of humor. The words were not coming up right and going in and out, and it's just like, whatever. Close your eyes and praise him because it's through what your heart has to him just to give him all the glory and honor. It was just a blessing to me, I guess. So now we're going to take intermission and then we'll come back and the next three will come up. So. Everybody's looking like, what? Are you crazy? No. So it was a blessing. You know, times like this where Tom and Steve were both gone, we had an opportunity to share. Members of the church got to share, and it really was. It's encouraging, like Josh and Dale, when you get that first, you know, question from them, it's always, nope, that's all right. Don't need to, but then when you put it before the Lord, you just really know that each one of us has an opportunity to hopefully bless one another because it's his words. It's not my words. It's what he spoke through us to just become one as a body. So I'm just going to close in prayer and then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your life, Father, that you died for us, Father, that you bore the sins on that cross, Father, Lord, and then that you gave us hope, Lord, through your life by rising, Father, and one day we will get to see you, Father. What an amazing opportunity, Father, that you've given us new life, Father, and I just pray that as Dale and Josh have shared, Father, that we would just be able to join, Father, and commune with you, Father. And Lord, we don't deserve anything, Lord. We don't deserve anything, but we've gotten you, Father. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I give you all the glory and the praise that you deserve, Father. And there's times that I don't, Father. But now, Lord, I just ask that you would just bless each one here, Father, as we go out and share with our families and our friends, Father, that this day is a day for you, Father. It's not about some bunny that jumps around and gives kids candy, Father, but it's because of you, Father, that you died and you rose again, that you gave us everlasting life, Father. So I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.